por de humor aquí al mando también.
Vaya, good, thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and I gather from your responses in Afrikaans and Zulu that you're well. So I'm not going to ask you how it is. I'm gathering from your responses that you're well. I'm glad you're well, and welcome to our interaction with the department. We will ask the leader of the delegation to explain the delegation to us. We've also specifically asked for the audit committee to be here, and we'll engage with you in a second. The agenda is a standard agenda item. We took a decision some time ago to intensify our in-house monitoring of this department, as opposed to doing it after the audit agenda's report has been finalized, because for us that is after the horse has bolted. So we took a conscious decision to have quarterly in-house monitoring, and this is one of them. We are dealing with the June to September quarter, but not limited to June to September. We are hoping that the department has at least that to tell us what their performances have been cumulatively up to September. In between June and September, or up to June and September, we have as the department, or we've had the department appear before us, talking to us on the budget review processes. The committee has then written a report on the basis of that, so there are going to be matters that emanated from those interactions with the department, with the legal, with DIU, with IT, that we made clear were not a once-off, so those matters you must expect. As a committee, we've been to at least two collective oversight visits and numerous delegation visits. Somewhere in the Western Cape, and those type of things. So I'm sure those matches will arise. Opening of Kimberley. So there's been all those activities that have happened in the last few months that we would expect the department to respond to or to give us a educated response, if not a specific response. I don't think we're going to be asking specifics on all the matches. We also, after our last interaction, submitted questions that emanated from all these type of interactions to the department that we are also going to engage with. I was informed this morning that those might not have been responded to as we speak. But my own sense, and I'm looking at the members, they will indicate to me, my own sense is that if you're unable to give us the specifics in terms of the comma so-and-so, at least the principles you can talk to. So we are going to pose those questions, and you'll be able to respond to them at least at a very high level. We still expect to get the details. One of them, if memory serves me correctly, how many offenders have benefited from education, as an example. You might not have those details, but you would need to indicate to us that there are offenders that are benefiting, or there aren't any offenders that are benefiting because of these reasons. So that is what I mean when I say we are going to engage on those questions, even if you can't give us the specifics of those questions. So that is the scope of interactions that we're going to have in the first part of it, and then we are going to talk to the department around your interactions with the Department of Health. What is your cooperation with them? Do you have a service level agreement? Why is it that we are having the challenges that we have, and what is it that you're going to do about it? So it's going to be those type of interactions. We've done that with the schooling. in terms of the educators. We've done it with the infrastructure maintenance, and we had you and Public Works here. And if after this interaction we need to have you and the health department, we'll do that. If the rationale or the reason is that the health department are not cooperating, then we'll bring them along and we'll have that discussion. But we thought it was important to have the initial discussion with you in terms of your interaction with and cooperation with the Department of Health around health-specific matters in the Department of Correctional Services. So that, in essence, is how we're going to conduct our business. We need to be out of here at 1, because at 1 o'clock there's another meeting taking place. I don't suspect we'll be here much longer than 1 o'clock. And then if we have some time, we just need to in-house as a committee. Just relook next week and the week thereafter in terms of our committee work, because some of us might be at COP17 and so on, and Cindy has scheduled up to, I think, the 7th of December, so we must just as a committee decide if that's going to work for us. So that should be really a 2-minute exercise. So having said that, can I hand over to the leader of the delegation to introduce your team and whatever apologies there might be.
Chairperson, honourable members, thank you and good morning. Let me start with the apologies and then I will hand over for each person to introduce themselves as the delegation from DCS. The Commissioner has sent apologies at late notice yesterday. Treasury has convened an adjudication process that he has been involved in, the final part of an adjudication process, and he's involved in that. Apologies from the CFO, who has been booked off for this week, or for at least part of this week, but he's still booked off today. The CDC Development and Care is involved in a conference on HIV and AIDS, but is represented by the DC Personal Wellbeing. And the CDC UCSA is also involved in an international relations matter at this moment. Myself, I'm Jenny Schreiner, CDC OMS.
Good morning. My name is Charan Prasaroka, the Deputy Commissioner, Executive Management.
Good morning, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Zakaria Modise, the CDC responsible for corrections. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shishi Pello, the Deputy Commissioner, Personal Wellbeing.
Good morning, Chairperson and committee members. My name is Charles Mutau. I'm the audit committee member.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Kulekani Buterezi, member of the audit committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Brenda Matumise, chair of the audit committee.
Good morning, committee members. I'm Maria Mabena, Director of Healthcare Services.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the House. My name is Sibongile Shongwane, from the Minister's Office.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Sam Mabuja. I'm from the Office of Deputy Minister.
Chairperson and the Portfolio Committee. My name is Google Mbete. I am a Deputy Commissioner, HRM, but currently acting as CDC Corporate Services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and the Audit and Portfolio Committee members. I'm Nidwe Balini, Director, Special Audit, also acting as the Chief Audit Executive.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Mangoba Ngubo, responsible for supply chain management.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Kamakuni Ntinda, DC Internal Control and Compliance.
Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the committee. My name is Nandi Mareka, responsible for financial and management accounting.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. I'm Joey Kutsia. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Operations.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is P. Kombamo.
I'm the Deputy Commissioner responsible for intergovernmental relations within correctional services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. My name is Star Kafu from National Treasury.
Good morning, Chairperson and committee member. My name is Abraham Lintwane from National Treasury.
Thank you very much, and I'm pleased National Treasury is here so that we don't scandal about you. Specifically, yes, sir.
Chairperson, I just want clarity, if I may ask, that member, correctional officer, the deputy director, is he correctly saying that he acts in a CDC position from deputy director on the level of CDC? Is that correct? HR.
Can I clarify? Ms. Lembetta said she was deputy commissioner. And she's acting at CDC, not deputy director. Thank you.
All right. Now that that has been cleared, I was saying that I'm pleased that Treasury is here, because we don't want to scandal about you in our interaction. I'm saying that because one of the reasons why we've invited the Audit Committee, and we patiently waited for you to come, even though at earlier meetings you were not all available, and we accept that. It's because we think that you're an integral part to this department, and we're not so sure that you've been doing what you were supposed to be doing. That's why we've invited you here. Why are we saying that? It's because a month ago, this department, together with the auditor, or together with the AG's office, said to us in no uncertain terms that there is no IT system to talk about in this department. Absolutely nothing to talk about in this department. We know that to get email from the department to this office is literally impossible. We're talking about emails. And my words then were, I don't understand how you, or I think I said something to the effect that it's inconceivable to think of a hotel without IT, to think of a hospital without IT, to think of an education facility without IT. This department is a combination of all those things, without IT. And we have an audit committee, we have internal audits, we have all these people that are supposed to strengthen management in this department. That's why we've asked you to come along here, so that you can explain to us. In my other life, I chair SCOPA. So I don't want people that will say we are the audit committee just by name and you're not doing anything about it. Then we might as well ask you to leave, quite frankly. We might as well ask you to leave, because you see, part of Treasury's requirements is that there must be an audit committee, and then we just have an audit committee. Half of them don't ever attend. Or throughout the year, you'll find that there are absenteeism, somebody didn't attend whatever meetings, but they ticked the box that says there has been an audit committee. I think you're doing South Africa a disservice. Not you, I'm saying when we operate in that fashion. We do South Africa a disservice. The intention of the audit committee was to strengthen these type of departments. That's my understanding of the CFMA. So we've asked you to come just to have an interaction with us, honestly, about what do you think is happening in this department. This department has had qualified audits since inception. Qualified audits since inception. I'm indicating now that there's no IT system, which is supposed to be, in my understanding, probably the most key backbone to internal control. It's not there. Nobody's talking to us about it. We have an IT department that is 99% consultant driven. No permanent staff. Nobody's talking to us about that. We have somebody come here, give us the IT strat plan going forward. That individual is not employed by this department and probably won't be employed, because at the time that we had this interaction, they had shortlisted the IT head, and he was not part of that shortlisting. So you have somebody come and give us a presentation who is not going to be here. And on the basis of that presentation, Parliament takes a decision whether we're going to approve a budget of many millions of rand. So I'm not impressed. I really am not impressed with what this department is doing or not doing that undermines our serious obligation of finances in this department. I'm not impressed at all. So we want you to give us an objective view of what you think is happening here. We know you don't micromanage this department, but you would be able to give us some insight to what you think is happening or should happen going forward. Treasury is here. We'd want you to do the same type of thing, because I'm saying the Auditor General has given us their views. We regard them as independent and very important in the governance of and management of budget. We know that you're not a super committee or a super department, but you would also need to give us some sense of what do you think is happening in this department. I haven't seen your report, for instance, your quarterly reports that you dish out, and you've made some very serious comments on reservations of what is happening or not happening in this department. For instance, the escalation of expenses and so on, the high vacancy rates and so on. But again, Treasury can't raise these things and expect that they would disappear without some intervention, even if that intervention is saying to me as chairperson, chair, do this type of thing. So we are seriously concerned with how serious we're taking this department. We have said as this committee that the last thing we'll do before our term is over, this department will turn around and have a clean audit. If anything, that's what we're going to do. This is our last interaction probably for this year. Our next interaction will be almost at the time that the audit starts, or there'll be very little to be done, and we have 2 years left after that. So you have a role to play to ensure that we fulfill our goals. Treasury has a role to play to ensure that we realize our dream of a clean audit in this department, and that is why we've called you here. Not to fight with you, but to get a proper sense from you of what you think should happen, because I think it's in all our interest. It's in all our interest that these things get fixed up, just from a governance point of view. They will talk to us about the politics of it, because again, this department, we've said over and over again, if correctional services doesn't get its act together, chances of South Africa breaking the cycle of crime are probably non-existent. If they don't get their act together, we're not going to break the cycle of crime in this country. So really, ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious interaction. And your responses were therefore expected to be as honest as possible, even if they are unpalatable to us. We'd want you to say to us, in our view, this is what we think is happening, even if it's unpalatable to us. So that is why we've called you here. We're not going to spend too much of our time with you, but we want to afford you an opportunity to give us another view of what's happening in the department. I'm saying that because, and you probably don't have the annual report, but part of your annual report signed by the chairperson on the 23rd of August last year says, we have reviewed the audit, we have reviewed and discussed the audit, the audited annual financial statements to be included in this report that I'm talking about. This is the audit committee. Reviewed the Auditor General South Africa's management report and management responses thereto. You reviewed changes to the accounting policy and practices. Reviewed the department's compliance with legal and regulatory provisions. And you've reviewed significant adjustments resulting from the audit, and then you go on to say we concur and accept the AG's report. Now, the AG spoke about material losses emanating from, I think, motor vehicles. I was using it as an example. 3 million rand motor vehicles. 3 million rand was the total. 2.9 was for motor vehicles. 218. Claims amounting to 218, as well as from other sources amounting to 47. Part of the emphasis of matter that the Auditor General brought up. We won't talk about the reason, or not the reason, but the unauthorized, which we all have spoken about, the OS D type of thing. That one is fine. But I'm just saying things like material losses, understanding, the net understanding was mainly due to the late finalization of CETA invoices to the, in other words, late invoicing going to the department. Now, internal control, internal audit, I would assume should have been the first red flag that says these guys are not delivering on time. You're going to overspend, or you're going to underspend, or you're going to have rolled over. And you must give us an indication of the capacity of internal audit in this department, if it exists. And if you can, please tell us also about the capacity of legal and the DIU, if they exist. I'll tell you why. We have received, and part of our visit to Bethel, for instance, DIU had done some work there. Our visit to Rustenburg, the DIU had done some work there. But when we got there, we found major shortcomings in the work that the DIU supposedly had done. And in one of them, we've asked them to reverse it. The Bethel one, for instance. They had done some investigation. We said, no, we don't accept this here. Go and relook at it. I think in Rustenburg, we did a similar thing. Somebody was expelled, and we said, but not expelled, dismissed or something to that effect. And we said, we don't think that this is fair. So go and relook at it. Legal. We have quite a few contingency liabilities. Now, we know that every time somebody indicates that they will take the department, it is accountingly correct to then raise a contingency. We accept that. And maybe that explains the high contingency. But let's give you the other side of it. In the past 5 months, Mr. Self, or let's say for the past year, there's been at least 7 or 8 senior managers either dismissed, suspended, or whatever. All of them challenged the department and were either reinstated or were compensated. Now, I'm asking the question, why is it that we are losing so many of those battles? Surely somebody should be saying to the commissioner, you are not following procedure, or this thing is weak, it's going to fail. Commissioner KZN, suspended, he's today back in his job. Tetsani, suspended or whatever, today he's back in his job. Zoliswa, suspended, we had to pay her out. Jabu Susubu, suspended or whatever, we had to pay her out. If this was your money, ladies and gentlemen, and my money, I don't think we would do it this way. If it was our money, we wouldn't be doing it this way. So we want you to give us a synopsis of what you think should be done in this department, and I've painted the picture of our concerns. We don't want you to get into any specifics if you can't, but you understand the frustration and the anxiety that we have as a department. So we're going to afford an opportunity also to give us a state of the department from your viewpoint, and let's have a discussion on that. So over to you. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a tall order, but I think we'll attempt to do justice to some of the concerns that have been raised by the portfolio committee. Let me start by saying that Mr. Mtau and Mr. Buthelezi were in the previous audit committee, so you know they can give a better sense over the last 2-3 years. I became the chair of the audit committee only this year. So I'll give you my first impressions of when I started with the department and what we have done and we are putting in place to ensure that the audit committee occupies the right place within the department. Now, the reality and the truth of the matter is that there is no capacity in internal audit. That's a fact. And we have to acknowledge that. In an attempt to deal with that capacity problem in the department, a crowdsourcing decision was taken that you will need to bring in external
internal auditors to assist internal audit. That's when you had previously SABNT together with KPMG. So they did the first, they assisted internal audit. That contract came to an end and a new appointment was made fairly recent. We now have a new team in place, which is made up of PwC and Sigela. We've got an audit plan that was presented to the audit committee, adopted by the audit committee, and the work has started. And basically, Mr. Chairman and members, the two areas that we have asked the team to focus on, one is IT. For us, it's a risk because, in fact, it was identified as a risk even with the work that was done previously. So we have asked for a separate IT plan from the consortium that is in place. Second is going to be looking at HR and all the other 10 risks that were identified by the risk profile that was done, but also to address matters that were raised by the AG, whether there were emphasis of matter or that led to qualification. Now, the challenge also is when you bring in people to assist the department, the question is asked, what happens to the current staff members, 23 of them? We have asked for a plan from the consortium just to for us to know that by the time they exit in the 3 years, that you'll have a resourced, capable internal audit for the department to run on its own. And we have asked that we will monitor and have oversight on that plan, whether it's been done, the transfer of skills. Because, Mr. Chairman, if the audit committee has to battle just to get minutes out of internal audit, that's cause for concern and is a problem for the work that we are doing. So you have a team in place now, Mr. Chairman. We can comfortably assure this committee that the work is being done with speed, and it has been emphasized to the consortium on the agency, but the importance of why this work has to be done in the manner that it has to be done. But if I were to be, as you correctly pointed out, that we need to be open and give you our impressions, and I'm going to allow my colleagues to give you the impressions over the last 2-3 years. And my sense is that there's a lot of passing of the buck in the department. No one wants to take responsibility for anything. When you drill down and you want to establish why something was not done at the time that it was supposed to have done, you hit a wall, because no one wants to come out openly and say, it was because I delayed with this and that. And the attitude that we have taken as the audit committee is that internal audit, if you have given the centers or whenever you're doing your audit, and management comes with comments like, you have given a deadline of when documents must be submitted, that is not done. We have indicated to the commissioner and the CFO that one, we don't want a report that tells us that it was not done and we are not, it's not shown why it was not done and what were the corrective measures taken to ensure that that person does what they were supposed to do. So it's very clear, and we're hoping that the commissioner and the CFO have communicated that to the entire team, that the audit committee will not sit if information that was meant to be before us is not available. That's simple, and would rather report that we did not meet precisely because people did not do what they were supposed to do. So that's one of the things that we're doing. We're not accepting any. When we have made a decision that at the next audit committee, these are the reports that we need and the presentations that we need, and that is not forthcoming, audit committee meetings will not happen. And then we expect leadership within the department, that the commissioner together with his team, that heads were wrong, because for those people who are responsible for that. So it's key, because my impression is that no one wants to take responsibility for anything in the department. It's finger pointing, it's blaming this one and that one, and not anyone standing up and saying I'm responsible and I should have made sure that this happens. It's a leadership issue, Mr. Chairman, in the department. It's about leadership, and it starts from the top. And fortunately for us, we had to get the minister to intervene at some point, as this year, because we're not getting response from our questions from management, and we had to have a meeting with the minister to raise sharply our frustrations as the audit committee, and to indicate that in the event that this behavior continues, this is what we're going to be doing. So the minister is fully aware of the consequences of her department and the team if they do not take the audit committee serious, respond to audit committee concerns and queries, there are certain consequences for the department. And I don't think that we need to be put in that position that when things don't work out in the department that we need to escalate these things to the minister for intervention. But we had to do that because we are not getting adequate responses. So in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman, I can assure you, you have an audit committee that is is taking its work very seriously and understand what the department is faced with currently, and why we need to ensure that the committee itself functions, because our sense is that people want to make this committee irrelevant. It's not taken seriously. We want to elevate it to the level where it becomes an integral part of the work of DCS. And in the short space of time, Mr. Chairman, we've managed to bring the acting GTO into our meeting just to understand what are the issues around IT. Why is it that there are outstanding invoices? Why is it that there's no IT plan in place? And what measures have been put in place to remedy some of the things that have been identified around consultants and all those things. So we have decided to put ourselves on their faces, whether they like it or not. And if you become a nuisance, we are going to be a nuisance, because at the end it impacts on us as in our individual capacity, but also at a professional level. But it can't be that under our watch things happen the way they do. So can I just allow my two colleagues then to also give you the sense, because they've been there longer than me.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, members. Just to add to what the Chairperson has just spoken about, I think, Chairperson, one of the biggest problems that we're facing with is the culture within the department. For any control environment to operate effectively and efficiently, you need to have the right culture. The control environment starts at the top. But with the right culture, with delegation, systems, et cetera, we have got three assurance providers within the department, which is the risk, which is internal audit, and the AG. And all of these risks, assurance providers, when they issue reports, they point out to the same direction. And you keep on coming back to the audit committee meetings, getting the same reports, which actually point towards, where the culture, which is not strong enough actually within the department, so that we're able, to manage the department effectively. Just to demonstrate one example, there was a report on performance audits which was issued by the AG last year in May. It took the department about 12 solid months just to respond, just to issue management comments. And if you trace in our minutes, in the audit committee minutes. We kept on asking management, what is it that's actually holding you back to actually respond, you know, to this issue? We'll keep on passing the buck. CFO will say, no, it's with IT. IT will say, it's with so-and-so. 12 solid months. We came to a stage where we said to the AG, issue this report without management comments. You can't wait any longer. You cannot have a situation where it takes 12 months just to respond to an audit report. You have a situation right now where you don't have a head of internal audit. The lady behind there has been acting for almost 12 months. The head of internal audit was suspended more than 10 months ago or so, plus or minus. We go out, we advertise a position. The first advert, we withdraw it for whatever reason. The second advert comes out. It takes about 3 months just to do the shortlisting. By the time we do the shortlisting, all the candidates who would actually, you know, apply for that position, they are gone. I mean, these people that don't walk in the street, if you want a chief director, a solid chief director of that position, you'll move quickly, you know, within a week after actually closing the target. You do the shortlisting. Within two weeks, you sit, you do interviews. As I'm speaking to you now, that position is still vacant. And the lead was actually the head of internal audit, is still on suspension. The turnaround times, in as far as dealing with this very issue, it takes forever. That person who is gaining a salary, it cannot. I mean, if you do an investigation, you cannot take 10 months to wrap up an investigation. Uh-huh. And there's more of those cases. Uh-huh. We set up a special audit committee meeting just to deal with IT issues. For the first one, we just had a special item on the agenda to deal with IT because it's of critical nature. This department doesn't have an IT environment. We said, okay, Jito, come give us a transition, give us a turnaround strategy. What is that you're going to do, you know, to turn this thing around? The first time around, he doesn't attend. He's attending something else. Then we come as non-executive directors in the department, but Jito's not there. I told him, no, he's attending something else. We come back, say, okay, let's have another meeting, second bite. We get to the meeting, we don't get the report, some of the reports are actually presented at the meeting. How do you do justice to a report that's actually presented at the meeting? And again, we're dealing with the culture. Chairperson, as a oversight committee, as the chairperson has indicated, we actually got to a stage where we said, no, let's actually escalate this issue to the executive authority in terms of PFMA. Let's get access to the executive authority, which is the minister. We have done that. And unfortunately, going forward, we'll have to do macro management. As much as we are non-executive, we don't have executive power. But looking at the nature of the risks, which are actually in the chairperson's presentation, even if it means that we sit there every second week, we have to do that. But the accounting officer has to take responsibility. He has to lead. The senior management, which is sitting here, they have to lead. Internal audit will go out, they will do audits, they will make recommendations to management. Executive management is supposed to implement. They do follow up audits 3 months later, they will go back, they find exactly the same thing. So if you had to look at the internal audit reports, the type of comments that you get from management, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And if you see that this report, actually, the guy who actually manages that environment never even looked at this report. It's just given to a junior manager. You know, the manager will come up to say, no, we'll attend to this thing. You know, if I had the reports here, we could actually read them out. We even address this thing with the minister. We read them out to the minister. We've got situations where people are
I mean, they owe the department over $400,000 for every, actually for staying in the houses. And then we allow people to accumulate the same debt. We don't take the person out. When you ask why, no, it will be investigated, we'll see later. It's a circus. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just respond to the IT matters. All the concerns, Chair, that you have raised are absolutely true. We have in many a times made the department aware in Quito itself, the head of IT, getting the same commitment. I think the minutes of the audit committee meetings can at least explain that much better and the frustrations we've had. I mean, IT, for instance, is sitting at, I think, 43% vacancy rate. Currently, there's no head of IT. The very same issue of raised, Chair, regarding the consultant coming and the presentation, the very same concern you've raised in the audit committee meeting, where the consultant is coming to the meeting without any person, a full-time employee of the department. When the person is got other commitments, there's no one representing IT where we wanted to information and feedback on certain matters that we've actually raised. I think sometime last year, I came to a meeting with my resignation letter and I discussed with the head of internal audit that, look, there's nothing much I can do here. I'm trying to assist IT. I've made my commitments. I've made them clear that if they have issues, let them please come to me and I'll assist them. Just to get an infrastructure refresher plan. The very same issue about not getting emails. It took quite a long time to have that until the new Quito gentleman, the consultant, who drafted that. But still with that, we have a lot of questions because we said, but we've got CETA. CETA's got infrastructure. Why does it take you so much, about billions budgeted to have a new infrastructure? We've had to, through the chair, to bring CETA into a meeting and CETA had to explain what is it that the department is doing and that CETA can provide. Apparently, we find that the department is using bits and pieces of what CETA offers. We said, well, we want a comprehensive, fully converged, managed services that CETA can provide the department, not to reinvent the wheel, which is the current plan that we are provided by the head of Quito. Because, look, a lot can be done. Look at governance. Look at the primary, the basic issues, infrastructure. Can you even see? CETA's got infrastructure. We've made a plea to them to please work hand in hand with CETA to get the basics right. Just to get the governance, the policies. Because the policies inform all the rules of access. The policies all about security for the organization. Just to have that document presented to us. It took quite a while. Even today, it was mentioned on the list that we've got these policies. But today, we haven't received any copy of it. Which is quite a concern. Hence, I mentioned to you that last year I had my resignation letter. Purely because I felt that, look, I'm trying to make a difference. But nothing is coming forward from me. Then the head of IT, for some reason, resigned for a while now. And then the gentleman is acting. But the concern that we've raised even in the previous meeting is that we cannot have a consultant. We have the issues with consultants. The whole issue report was issued about consultants within IT. The very same issue raised, Chair, regarding the invoices. Apparently, the person who is verifying and holding the invoices is also a consultant in the department. We asked the head of Quito, but when we have the service level management meetings with CETA, why don't you get those invoices, look at them, you approve them immediately if the service doesn't relate to the department and pass them on to finance? But we could not get any response from that, which I guess is quite a serious concept because it reflects based on us, especially in my case. I'm the ICT specialist. I've raised these issues many a times, and I've made my commitments. I think the sure can attest to that, that I'm available. Let me help you if possible. Not even a single call. Then with CETA, we had an action plan that we asked the department to fully engage CETA way forward. So that they can get the basics right. See, that's for the infrastructure. There's no need to reinvent. There's no need to even get additional employees that will do what CETA can provide. There's no need to do that. And I guess they'll hit the call because simply a lot can be done in a short space of time. And the very same consensus has been raised by my colleagues here. Aquatic Union, and it's been frustrating for us. If you look at the minutes of the audit committee meetings, everything is spelled out clearly. And I guess maybe if there's any other question regarding IT, I'll respond to that. But thanks.
Ngiyabonga. Treasury, you want to say anything on any of these matters?
Through you, Chair. Basically, we from the Office of the Accountant General and on the accounting support and reporting, and we are assisting the department mainly on the audit qualifications that they have. And us as National Treasury, we've entered into an agreement with the department in trying to support them in ensuring that they have a clean audit opinion in this coming year. We have succeeded last year in moving most of the qualification pertaining mainly to assets. And in the current year, we're also trying to assist mainly with the asset qualification within the department. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's open it up to members. The original, initial comments limited to what we've heard so far. Other matters we'll introduce. Let me take Ngwenya, Paliso, Advocate, and then Mania Self.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the information that we've got today from Ms. Brenda and your team. Chairperson, it shows that we do have a big challenge in this portfolio committee. And I don't think, Chair, that we're going to deal with that in a presentation. As far as I listen to the information that we've got right now, I used to say, Chair, we always get a report from the department that affirms it, but it doesn't have any truth. Today we're facing with this challenge of IT. We passed a bill because we believe that the department is telling us truth about IT. But today's Chairperson is another story. I wish the commissioner was here, because when you talk about this fancy report, she thinks that maybe we don't respect them. Chairperson, as I said, maybe we need to stop this presentation and focus on this thing of IT. I want when you close the issue of IT and open the human resource matter, because there's a lot of things that I want to say about it. Maybe the question that I can ask needs to be answered by the department. What happened about that man that was presenting this IT system? Is he still in the department? Who is fooling who, Chair? I want the department to answer us. Where is that man was talking about the success of the IT? And we believe that what they present to us is the truth. But today we are getting something else that he doesn't understand. So, Chair, I think you're going to give me another round to raise issues in terms of human resource matters, taking this advantage of the national treasure as they are here, because there's a lot of questions that I want to ask the department. Maybe the national also will assist them or assist us in terms of answering those questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. No wonder, Chairperson, we have a low morale in the officials of DCS. I think, as Honorable Willie is saying, that one can sense why the department has a clean sweep of all the institutional memory, and the department has inherited many new officials in the department. Institutional memory is gone. That's why we are sitting with consultants doing government job in DCS. While we are complaining as a portfolio committee,
reminding management, we do not want consultants, because how are you going to have institutional memory if you got a consultant who is managing the department from outside, who is manipulating the system? It is not a system of DCS, it's a system of a consultant. Chairperson, this is really a concern. This is a very, very, very important department. It can't be owned by hidden hierarchies outside the department. How are we going to talk about cost containment? How are we going to suggest that to the department? Because the consultant is not going to contain him or herself. Because this person is coming to make profit and not coming to redress or to shape a system or to secure the security of this very important department. If there is no IT, there is no DCS. Across department, he collapsed. And given that we don't get answers out of DCS, I cannot even tell that what are the corrective measures that are taken by DCS management. And we've got a serious, serious leadership problem, not a challenge, a problem in DCS. IT has collapsed, which means criminals are controlling DCS. Corruption is controlling DCS. Because if you go and look, Jefferson, at the growth in items of consultants, contractors, that exceeds 200%, it's too much. Then I can even question the audit outcome. I question it. Although I'm not the auditor, but I can question it. Chairperson, if this department does even not have a head of internal audit, to call an internal auditor, that they are not getting the truth, the rightful answers, they are complaining, they've got the very same complaint that we have. We are trying to give advice, we are trying to talk soft, and then we come harsh again. Nothing is happening. There is no movement. Chairperson, maybe we will have to move some time and not go and approve the budget of this department. Because we approve the Ubani. Who is really leading this department? Is it department inside or is it someone from outside? We are disturbed about this IT system. We have a person who were confidently presenting to us, telling us I'm an expert. If you can go and scream about that person, no idea. It's about the banana making. It will be not an expert. That's why they are not vetted. Because the capacity is lacking. The amount of money about your department, that's the problem we are having here. The institutional money is gone. Because we inherited consultants' old, driven IT system of DCS. And that must stop. If it doesn't stop, we are not going to approve this budget. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thank you. What the chairperson has said here of the internal audit. What he said here is I think nothing new to us. To just confirm what we are fighting. I'm here just over a year, and you know, I heard this rhetoric every time when the department comes here. and say it's a high-level presentation. High-level presentation. I could not see any high-level outcomes. But every time it's high-level presentation. The thing is, you know, she talks about the culture, or the second speaker in the model, he talks about organizational culture, commitment. And that is evident. Evident from the presentations we've got here, you can count who got an insight of what they are doing or whether they just prepare for the committee. And you will see after a couple of questions, there's nothing, no depth. And that is the problem, you know. And that's why I posed a question, a written question, to be answered by the department, by the minister, is what is the qualifications and the previous experience of those in the top management? So that I can satisfy myself whether the people got the relevant experience for the job to be done, the challenge. Because I've heard a lot of stories, people come from whatever side, be appointed here. The problem is, it's a commitment, lack of commitment, and even what the middle speaker said, he said that the reports which they received, the disasters, the disgraces, the circus, the quality and the type of reports they received. On our oversight visit, it was a total eye-opener. Now, I know this culture of this department very well. I was 25 years in management and 2 years of that food soldier. And, you know, once we got to this correctional center, you can see in the attitude of personnel, how they walk, how they behave, whether these people got an interest in their job or not. And that is with the exception of the few who's really committed. You can see in the clothes and how they appear, the commitment, how they do their job. But the majority, you can see, they sit there in the sun and they sit on the domada and whatever. It's that type of don't care. I get my salary, I just do what I'm supposed to do. And you know, unfortunately, I must say, and I'm also echoing what the first speaker, Nguenya, said, it's a pity the National Commission is not here. But my question now to the chairperson is, you know, when we dealt with the last year's annual report, then there was a conflicting statement between your report in the document and the Treasury General's report. Because your one indicated a smooth-running department. The AG actually drew our attention to a couple of things which was really wrong. And I think that was the spark where we decided, no, this audit, internal audit must also come on account, because their report is just, you know, everything, the minimum standards and all that, you know, those standard wording were in that particular report of yours. So I just want you to explain through the chair that discrepancy. That report indicated everything is running according to the rules. The Treasury said otherwise. Today you confirm what Treasury said and you confirm our personal experience. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for the information that we have got. I'd like to confine myself really to what we were told. And there are a couple of specifics that I think we need to know. I understood that, is it PricewaterhouseCoopers that is now there? All right. And I'd really like to know how long that contract is going to be in existence and what are the outcomes that are expected of it, more particularly regarding the transfer of skills. Because, I mean, it's one thing to talk about the number of consultants within the department, but the internal audit committee itself is reliant on consultants. Which brings me to the second question, which is, why was the head of internal audit suspended, and where is he or she in this process now? She, I think it's a she. Yeah, she is she still on suspension pending disciplinary inquiries? What's the status? And how big is an ideal internal audit component within the department, and how many of those posts are filled at the moment? So that deals with the whole internal audit part of it. Then the chairperson referred to the intervention by the minister or with the minister. May we know when that intervention took place and whether it was on specific issues or whether it was just a broad dissatisfaction with the response of the department? Several of the reports we heard referred to either the leadership at the top or to the organizational culture as contributing factors to the fact that there was no response. Now, we have had, I think you mentioned, Chair, the other day, we've had about 5 national commissioners in the last 5 years or so. I'd like to know, is the leadership currently better, worse, or just the same as it's always been? In other words, is this an endemic problem, or is it a question of getting the right people into the right positions at the right times? And finally, Mr. Buthelezi referred to the internal audit reports, which the response to which he regarded as either a disgrace or the situation was a circus. I think it would be very helpful, sir, if we could get a copy of those internal audit reports, because that might also enable us to see whether the observations of the audit committee are the same as the observations of the portfolio committee, and whether the responses of the department are the same to the audit committee as they sometimes are to the portfolio committee, and that we can perhaps then have a 360-degree oversight of the department and what it's up to. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me deal with the capacity of internal audit and the newly appointed consortium, which is Pricewaterhouse and Siegel. Currently, in-house capacity, you've got 20 internal auditors led by Ms. Nikwe Baleni, who's acting currently. And for all intents and purposes, they are meant to cover head office, 6 regions, 48 management areas, and 240 correctional areas. Okay. Now, we have not done the exercise of the audit committee on the level of skills. So we've not done a skills audit, so that we fully appreciate the level of experience and the skills profile of internal audit itself. Because then if you had 20 professional internal auditors, it would have been easy to conduct internal audit and do the work well. Okay? But that's not the case in the department. It has just been established and proven that they've not had the requisite capacity to be able to conduct the audit at the level that we want them to conduct. And that's why you brought in external help. And it's an exercise that we will do ourselves just to establish that capacity, that skills level, because we've asked for the skills transfer plan from the consortium itself. We can share with yourself immediately when they present it to us. They are presenting it to us on the 12th of December at our next audit committee meeting. Because for us it's important. I mean, it can be that you have a resource internally that you pay for, but at the same time you have to go out and pay double. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. So it's not a good position to be in. But for us to get things going and for the department to respond adequately to a whole lot of things and to ensure that there are internal controls, you had to do that.
The intervention of the minister happened in September this year. And when it was around specific issues, one of those issues was the appointment of the internal audit head. Because that vacuum causes the problems that we as the audit committee have picked up, because there's no leadership. So we needed to establish from the minister, when will that position be filled? And we made it very clear that we need to start the new year with a new head of internal audit. At our last audit committee meeting 2 weeks ago, the commissioner reported that they are head hunting because they could not get, I think, from the applications themselves, they could not get the right candidate. So we have been advised now that they are head hunting. But the audit committee has made it clear that we start the new year with a head of internal audit. It can go on, you know. So that was one that we raised with the minister around there. The second issue that we raised with the minister was around the whole leadership of the department and sharing with her even the report that Mr. Buthelezi referred to. If you looked at the comments that came from management, and we'll share that report with you. We'll see. I mean, you can't be a South African and accept that that's the comments that should be made and nothing happens, you know. So she needs to be aware of those things. Sadly, was around how the audit committee is treated and viewed within the department. And the reporting line, because we're being managed, and we're not going to accept to be managed at all. We wanted for us to have a direct line to the commissioner, to the minister, if needs be, and that's what we want to happen, and it's going to happen, whether people like it or not. Because then this whole thing of having to go through 20 people before you can anything can happen, I mean, it's a waste of my time. And everybody else in the audit committee that we can't do the work that needs to be done. So we better go home, you know, as the audit committee. So we raise those things with her. And I think there is now a recognition and appreciation that this audit committee means business. As I said earlier, we are on the face of the department. They need to feel our presence, and that we want to change the way they do things and not look at the audit committee as a foe or an enemy, but an entity that is there to assist them to do things correctly. That oversight is important. Okay? And I think it's going to be painstaking, but we do have the patience for us to get to a point where DCS has got an appreciation why an audit committee exists. Not for compliance purposes only, that you tick a box. No. That it works for you. That you can draw on their expertise at any given time. So that's what we emphasize. So the minister was fully appraised of that. And the fourth thing that we dealt with the minister, we really raised with the minister, was around the acting GTO. That we need to be advised on when an appointment will be made of a full-time person. Okay. The last report we got was that the appointment is imminent. Okay. How imminent? I don't know whether imminent means tomorrow or in December. But the reality is, and I think Ms. Schreiner, being here, she's full aware that we have made it categorically clear that that appointment has to be made in the new year, by the new year. We need to start the new year with a head of GTO who is a full-time employee of the department. One of the issues that we are raising around the acting GTO is really the possibility arising around delegation of authority. You know, if you've got a consultant and the delegation of authority one, we don't even know what that authority is at the moment, whether he's able to bind the department on a number of things, contracts and all that. But we're raising it out of concern to say, make sure that the relevant authority has been given to Chito so that then there's no challenge from anybody. Okay? Because, you know, that authority is very important. That he was given the authority to do the things that he was supposed to do, being a consultant. As a full-time employee, put it different. So as I can only say to yourself today is that I've been advised that the appointment is imminent, and Ms. Schreiner might add more on that. The other question raised by members is around the suspension of internal audit head, and it was before my time. So can I ask my colleagues, and I suppose Ms. Schreiner herself, to share with the committee why the Ms. Kuter, I suppose that's her name, was suspended, and where that process is. By the way, we raised it at the last audit committee meeting to get feedback from management, what is the status on this thing. And I can safely say to yourself, all that we got was that, oh, it's very difficult with these things. It takes long. So, you know, that's all that I can say. That we advise that it takes long. But I think maybe Ms. Schreiner can share with the committee why and where that process is. And just before Ms. Schreiner responds, the new consortium has been contracted for 3 years. For 3 years. We've got the first audit plan coverage for 2011-12, which is what we're working on now. Before the end of March, we will have the 2012-13 and 13-14 coverage plan. So, and if I just indicate the areas that they are focusing on, as I said, the top 10 risk areas, so that members are fully aware of what they're going to be looking at. We are looking at contract management so that, you know, we deal with legal issues around how contracts are managed within the department. So it has been declared the top 10 risk, and that's part of the coverage, audit coverage plan now. Human resource management, the farming of operations, the IT infrastructure, predetermined objectives, asset management, supply chain, general infrastructure, and overcrowding. So the rest, I mean, we're still going to do, but those are the top 10 that's receiving immediate attention, but occupational health and safety, parole boards, correction, offender rehabilitation, park security, debt management, record management, investigation management, and legal services will also form part of the audit. But we have elevated those 10 because they, if you look at the AG's report, those were some of the things, some of them that were identified, and there were problems in those 10 that we have identified. Then to deal with the conflict in the report. You want me to take the fifth from this one because it was not during my time, so I can't advise the committee on what happened. But maybe my two colleagues can venture into that. I don't know what happened there.
All right, Mr. Pozzolese or Mr. Matau, the question on is this leadership better, the same, worse than the other one? Because you were there before, but just on the last one, before you respond, let me remind you what you said. When I say you, I'm talking about the collective. Said in your report, the effectiveness of internal control. The system of internal control applied by the department over financial risk and risk management is effective, efficient, and transparent. In line with the PFMA and the King III report on corporate governance guidelines, internal audit provides the audit committee and management with assurance that the internal controls are appropriate and effective. And it goes on. That is what was signed off by Tiernison, I think it was, on the 23rd of August, 2011. today we are in November 2011. 3 months later, and Lama problems have been with us since I've become chairperson of this committee. You've confirmed it. AG has confirmed it all over. That's why I asked the question earlier on about when people come to this committee. I always warn them, before you say anything to us, you better make sure that you are prepared to defend this thing, because if not any other committee in Parliament, this committee does its homework. This one does its homework. And there's going to be a time. I don't know how many of you were here when Kulalana Sithole was here. Samkosala in Parliament. We fired him in Parliament, Kulalana Sithole. There's going to come a time, I'm assuring you, that some of you are going to get fired here in Parliament, whether the minister likes it or not. Because this can't continue. It's a contempt of Parliament. It is undermining. Some of us are fathers, you know that. We've got children, some of us. And I can't sit here, Mina, as a father and get somebody to do this thing to me. Not me. I can't sit as a father getting somebody to do this to me. She's on course. I'm assuring you now, and I want you to minister, some of you will get fired on the spot here, because this is contempt of Parliament. It really is contempt of Parliament what is happening here. So I'm just saying, Butelez and Matao, that as you respond, these are the things that come up. And really, this is an insult. This is an insult when somebody says this in August, and 2 months later, something different is said. To taxpayers, to South Africans, to everybody else. This thing is an insult. So please respond to that. And then maybe we must take a decision, Song. How do we take this process forward? Even before we allow the department to respond. Maybe after your input, we'll decide. Mr. Self was talking about a 360 oversight. Maybe we'll have to just decide on this one. And then thank you for your participation and see how we take it forward. But if you could respond to those specific questions, in your own assessment, is management going forward, going backwards? And maybe it might be difficult, but I'm hoping that you would, on principle, give us the truth regardless of the consequences. You'll tell us what your views are. And then the contradictions in the report, those two items, and we can take it from there. By then you would have covered most of the issues that members would have raised. And then, Ms. Reiner, you must indicate to us where's the process with GITO and where's the process with internal audit, because it's directly related to these matters. And those will be the only inputs that we will take, and then we'll take a decision before we move forward. So over to the two of you, sir.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. There was if I could do the one other question which was raised by the member before I give you the time. There was a question around an ideal structure, you know, what type of a structure would be really ideal for the department. If you had to use the IIA standards, professional standards for internal research, there's a benchmark which is usually used, whereby they say the budget for internal audit should be at least 0.05% of the total budget of the institution. So I'm sure you can do your calculation. And I think, again, when you talk about the transfer skills, the limitation right now is that there's actually an approved structure. I think it's about 80 or so auditors, and are sitting with 20 currently. Even if the consortium had to transfer the skills, there'll be that gap, because we need to capacitate the structure so that they're able to actually transfer, especially the specialized skills, performance audits, IT audits, which we don't have currently. So we need to actually try and fast track, you know, the filling of those vacant positions in the internal audit structure. Obviously, I'm sure it's informed by the budget availability, but there's going to be a limitation, you know, for the consortium to transfer the skills. they can do that to the 20, but there's more people that are supposed to be in that department. But coming to the contradictions, Chairperson, obviously, that report can't be accurate. I'm not going to try and defend that. Unfortunately, the chairperson of the audit committee is not here. He's not supposed to answer that himself. But looking at where we were 2 years ago, a year ago, and where we are now, we're definitely not making any progress. And that is actually informed by the internal audit reports. Let me say, by all the reports that are getting from the assurance providers, that is risk, internal audit, and the AG's report. So, I mean, if you look at the risk profile of the organization 2 years ago, you look at the risk profile now, there's really minimal, you know, improvement. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. Just to add, Chair, regarding the structure, the issue of the IT auditor, we have made requests many a time, and I remember even giving input regarding the profile of the person, requirements. To date, nothing has happened, and that's been, you know, standing item on the agenda. And also the audit plan, because in terms of the risk, it says IT infrastructure. We requested the consortium because that actually limits the restricted scope of IT. So we requested a separate, because of the looking at the issues in IT, we requested a separate IT audit plan, detailed, and also that should be inclusive of the personnel that will be doing those specific audits in terms of their qualifications, the experience. Because we require, you know, highly qualified personnel to face the current environment within DCS in terms of the audit skills.
Well, Sina, please talk to us about the head of IT, about the head of internal audit, about the 60% or whatever it is vacancy rate in internal audit, in terms of when are those posts going to get filled? Let me just add a rider to that. All those posts, as I understand them, are funded posts. And correct me if I'm wrong. So it means that we've approved a budget for all those individuals up to now, if they are funded posts. Therefore, tell us what have you done with that money. Because you come to Parliament and you say, give me 10 rand to appoint an accountant or whatever it is. A year down the line, there's no accountant. I would expect that 10 rand is returned to the national fiscus. That's what I would expect. I'm saying that because some of us have become wise to how departments operate. You come to us for funded posts, you don't further, you take that money and you use that money for something else. So our approach is going to be that at some point you're going to come and give us the costing of all unfunded, of all posts that have been funded that have not been funded. How much is it? And where has that money gone? I'm saying that including Treasury there. If we have a department that has such a high vacancy rate, that money must be sitting somewhere. And as Parliament, we'd expect that money to be returned because they didn't utilize it. And ningabui and say you can't fill in, or there's a white elephant somewhere in Cirrus in terms of skills development because you can't find artisans and those type of things. It's not you can't find. Quite frankly, you don't want to. That's the sense I'm getting. And boom, I'm beginning to think that you can't. It's not about you can't find. You don't want to find. That's why I'm saying to you, on these, just limit them to these, Ms. China, but we're warning you that at some point we're going to ask you to come and give us those unfunded posts. I don't understand you saying it's very difficult, or somebody there said that the argument was that it was difficult to find these people, you've got to headhunt them and so on. Mr. Self has been saying over years, go and put a desk up at the University of Johannesburg today, and you'll get many BCom graduates today. You'll get many BCom graduates. So it's no longer a matter of you can't if you don't. Yesterday or the day before on Metro, ordinary South Africans were crying that we are sitting on the street as qualified welders and panel beaters. South African, we're talking about the private sector, are going out to hire people from Taiwan and so on. What about us? This is not the story that I'm getting on the radio. And people are phoning in and saying, I'm a qualified welder, I'm sitting on the street. Private sector is going to get Taiwanese or something there. And then our public sector people come and say, we can't find a welder. We can't find a builder. We can't find an electrician. That's why you, Mr. Smith, when you get to this workstation, we can't utilize it to 100% because we don't have artisans. We've tolerated that for 2 years. We are sending a message out today that we are not going to tolerate it because internal on an audit committee is saying to us it's a culture problem. It's a don't care problem. Up to now, we've given you the benefit of the doubt that it is difficult to headhunt these people. We don't think anymore that it's difficult to headhunt. So I'm just raising those things, and we will get to the HR part of it later on. But what is happening with the head of IT? When are you hoping to fill that post? What is happening to the head of internal audit? When are you filling that post? What is happening to Mrs. whoever it was that was suspended from there? Why was she suspended, I think, was the question that Mr. Self asked. And what is it that you're doing with the 80-odd internal audit people? Don't tell me you can't find them assignments, because I will go out and find them today, and then we'll have a problem. Because I'm telling you, internal audit, don't tell me you can't find them. Just don't tell me that you can't find BCom graduates. And I don't know. Maybe you'll help us with the audit committee in terms of what are the minimum standards of an internal auditor. But I certainly did my articles, and I know what it is that you would require from an internal audit person, and not even head of internal. I'm just talking about the normal internal audit person. I'm sure I'll be able to give you the minimum standards that person wants. And South Africa are flooded with those type of people. So please explain to us these things, Einstein, and then thereafter we will take a decision how we go forward.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to ask Acting CDC Corporate Services and the head of the Commissioner's Office to respond on the issues. I think that we've already established from the input that have been given that in terms of the Chief Audit Executive, the interview process has found an appropriate candidate and there's a headhunting process. But Corporate Services will be able to give more in relation to that. And in relation to the GTO, my understanding is that interviews have been scheduled for the 13th of December. But again, Corporate Services would be able to deal with that. So if I could hand over to Acting CDC Corporate Services to also speak then to any further information on those and the issue of the internal audit vacancies and the process in relation to the lower level of posts in relation to that. And then to Mr. Russell Rourke in relation to Ms. Clute.
Thanks, Jefferson, and the portfolio committee. The teacher position was advertised, and currently the cross listing has been done. The interviews are scheduled for the 13th of December. Together the corporate services position. Thank you. The internal audit post, we said if the interviews were conducted by the internal, we couldn't find a candidate, and the process of headhunting is underway.
Please elaborate on your process of headhunting. What do you do when you headhunt? This thing that you're saying is headhunting. What are you doing? Are you putting adverts out? Are you going to the universities as Mr. South is suggesting? What are we doing when you say we're headhunting? How are you doing that exactly for the internal audit test?
What was agreed upon was that the people in the industry would recommend names of people that they think would make sense, because the process of interviewing really didn't yield any results. that was the process that was agreed upon going forward.
Can you supply me with the names of the people of the industry that you've spoken to? I'm going to write to them also. because I'm assuming that you would have written to the Big Five audit committees and those type of people, saying, well, Dr. help us identify somebody. Give me those names, I will do it. And I'm saying to you again, I am convinced that I will get somebody that is qualified. I'm just not buying the story anymore, that we can't find finance people in South Africa. I'm just not buying that story anymore. Specialist people we can, but these, I'm not buying it anymore, Mata. So give me the names of the top five or whoever you send. I have my own database. I will ask people to give me an internal auditor that can work for your department and prove to you that we will headhunt and find somebody. Okay, just send me that list to Cindy of the people that you sent, and I shall follow it up with them. No, but before you do that, the other question, Ms. Reiner, is the status of the person that suspended.
Information that you want, can I also request, Chair, that we also be told when those adverts were placed, times, dates, and how many applicants applied. We want to know what were their qualifications and why were they found to be unsuitable. And furthermore, Chairperson, this process of headhunting, at which juncture did it start? And we need to know those things, Chairperson, because I'm not totally on board with statements like we have done this, we have done that. We need to know when was it done. So the Chairperson, you see what goes through my mind, Chairperson, is this. That this is like a massive company. It's got a 13, 14, 15 billion rand budget. We are the directors of this company. And the directors are not aware of what's really going on. It is not being run as a business. Any business, Chairperson, any company would have filled these vacancies ages ago. Ages ago. And this is not happening. So there is no integrity in this whole process. We need to know exactly all these details, Chair.
You've got all that,
yeah? Yes, sir, I'll provide the information in
place.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. On the issue of Ms. Elsie Klute, who was still the director in internal audit, the head then of internal audit, the reason for her suspension was based on a number of meetings held between the Office of the National Commissioner and the staff of internal audit. The staff of internal audit raised a lot of serious allegations of mismanagement, the way and the manner and the style in which she was managing the directorate, but over and above, a number of serious allegations. Amongst them included the mismanagement of the former consortium, the KPMG and Sabat contract. And the appointment of one of the people that she was working directly with, which resulted in her having to mislead HR about the job requirements. That person applied for a post, but as soon as that person started working, he did something contrary to what that person was supposed to be doing. So those obviously resulted in an investigation of all those allegations. And soon after that investigation, the investigators actually found that there are about two serious allegations that actually can lead to a disciplinary process. And by then, since she was suspended around early this year, there was the process of a disciplinary hearing. The report that we got last week was that it is actually towards the end of that hearing. However, I think the representative of Ms. Lute is trying to look at other options just to make sure that she actually doesn't get through a function, but instead there is a view that she needs to go on a retirement due to ill health. So that is basically the way in which the situation is currently. Thank you.
All right. We want to thank you, first of all, the Audit Committee, for your frankness and your openness, because you've really just confirmed what we've been grappling with. So your challenges have really been our challenges as well. Also, we give you our minutes, which I think are readily available. You'll find out that these are the type of things that we've getting. Even if you just look at the last set of 20 questions that we've asked the department to prepare for now, you'll get a sense that our frustrations around these same things, I think from question 17 to 20 was on IT, basically. Where is it? Where's this guy? How much has it cost? We've spent so many millions of rands in the past. So just those 20 questions will really reconfirm what you're doing. So clearly, we are on the same side. But I don't think we can now say that we've had this discussion, so things are going to go right. I think we have to find a way of dealing with it. 360 degrees. I want to reiterate the fact that the two most critical people to have been party to this robust discussion are not here, CFO and National Commissioner. It's a real pity that they're not here. And therefore, I think we're going to have this type of a discussion, even if we have to regurgitate everything we've said here at that meeting, and include the minister and the deputy minister if needs to be. Because if we are serious about turning this thing around, we need to know who is in the trenches with us and who is not in the trenches with us. We need to know that. Right now, Mr. Self, I'm not sure who's the enemy here in terms of achieving this goal. I'm not sure. And what is it that is forcing them not to do or to do what they are doing? So with the guidance of the committee, I would want to suggest that we have this meeting with Commissioner, CFO, Minister, Deputy Minister, the committee and yourself, and have a frank discussion, even if it means we are repeating what we are saying now for the benefit of those people that are here. So that after that, Mr. Self, we are then able to decide, are we on the same page or are we not on the same page. This matter is too serious for us to continue regurgitating. And my end goal, Ms. Reiner, and senior manager, my end goal is that this department must get a clean audit. That is my end goal. So that you guys must understand, it's not about being nasty. We took that decision as a committee, and we are hell bent on making sure that it's going to happen. It's going to happen in our lifetime. That this department moves, ma'am, from 15 to 10 to 1 that we have now, with your assistance, it has to be a clean audit, and really a clean audit. Not just that the assets are now fixed up, but everything else. When we say a clean audit, we want to know that it's working smoothly. And the only way we'll do it, ma'am, is if you guys are on board with us, we are on board from our side, Auditor General is on board from his side. I just think we need all the stakeholders together. We need an enviso of stakeholders. And if you agree, as a committee, then we can invite Treasury, the Auditor General, Internal Audit, Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, Minister, and Deputy Minister, and let's just have this in doubt. If members here agree, then we'll ask Cindy to try and put this thing together, even if it means we must cancel one of our earlier meetings in the New Year, Cindy, where we get all the stakeholders together, whether it's in here, Pretoria, on the aeroplane, it doesn't matter, but we need to get a two-hour meeting at least where we discuss this matter. Is that acceptable? On Balotelle and then Paliso and then Nguyenya. We're talking about the intensifying of the oversight, not of the challenges, because that we will discuss later, but just on how do we do oversight so that we achieve our goals. All our goals are to make sure the department works properly. Balotelle.
Yeah, Chairperson, I support what you're saying, because to me, it seems as if the department is undermining the state president. If you look at the vacancy rate, they do really undermine the state president. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with you, because management really has to take note of the trends. They must
be able to take corrective action to ensure, Chairperson, that appropriated funds are spent effectively, efficiently, and economically. As early as 2011-2012, before we end the book year of 2011-2012, they must take corrective actions. I really are very disappointed that we do not get the real answers we want, even if we give it on paper. So, which means we are seriously undermined. Saying that, we'll have to have that, whether you call it Indaba, whether you call it Islamic, but we'll have to have the key people, the whole management. We will have to assess how many institutional memory do we have in this DCS. Where did people go who have the real experience of a DCS? Because if we want really to be efficient, if we really want to correct, to say we are doing corruption, then we must also assess the capacity of these corrections. We must also assess e-corruption because we don't even get answers Kimberley, did we start or not? It's one of the same thing. We are repeating us as if see Granny from lead long player lockdown. Really, Chairperson, it can't. And I think it's what Honorable Kelly has said, that FAMA has also given direction. State of the Nation Address has given direction. But I think what I'm sensing here in Toyokba, in the institutional memory, in Kenya, here is a equal child, it's a clean, not taking into consideration, but it's our shaker nabani, or take us forward. Chairperson, it must, even I want to propose this meeting to adjourn, because the next presentation will not give us the adequate answer. It will not. We are wasting our time. It can as well adjourn, and let the management come, the whole management, not as the National Commissioner, the whole management, because we have to assess how many new artists do we have, how many Mamui. How many new deputy directors do we have? How many new deputy commissioners do we have? I think we are faced with a real problem. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Vumelana now. But I want to add, Chair, in terms of the number of the posts that are not filled. I'm worried, Chairperson, because Unyaga opened. And I'm worried about the money that have put in terms of this vacancy. I want to know, Chair, what is the department going to do with the money that has been funded in terms of this post? And if Chairperson, this money is going to be underspent, it's going to be a problem. I think the department must take this money back to the National Treasury because we have been funded this post because we are listening to the president when the president said we need to create a decent a job. We opened a vacant for the department. We funded the department, seeing that they must fill post, but the department failed to do that, or they don't want, I don't know what to call it, Chairperson. So, the mali, every father that I vacant, Chair. That's how we say, Gupi. Go by telling the 20-year-old, good December, Gupi. Then they are saying on the 13th December, in my cut was going to my interview
How sure are we, Chairperson, that all this post is going to be filled? And how is the department thinking that they are delivering? If ba artisan, education, bo medical, ma nurse, and all these things are the ones that are making the correctional department to deliver. But as long as the capacity abo ingeko effectively, I don't think that the department is serious. Mm-hmm. Let them take this money back to the national treasure, not to put it to any project. Because we even advise them that for them to attract the professional nurses or doctors or teachers, at least they must take this money in that time of the country. But nothing's happening. I think they won't say that they are serious about the department. Therefore, let this man go back to the National Treasury Chair. Thank you.
Abraham and then Vincent Makagura, you turn to the
person. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, I wish I was a fly in the boardroom of those PPP prisons to hear how they conduct their business. I wonder if they would have allowed a situation where there is no auditor and do nothing about it. But at the outset, Chair, I want to say to the Audit Committee, I am pleased that they were, as far as possible, brutally frank about the shortcomings. We've had a tendency here where when entities report, they try not to trample on anybody's toes, and that's been the biggest mistake. Chairperson, you see, what we've got to remember is that constitutionally, this department is entrusted with the lives of 160,000 people at any given time. And if, you know, there is a Boere word, you know, as a department and so groot gemors is, Chairperson, how are you going to help to rehabilitate those people? Because if the parents, who are the department, are unable to have their own house in order, how are you going to teach others to get their lives in order? So, Chairperson, there is a serious lack of commitment. There is a serious lack of integrity. It is one thing coming here with these beautiful green and white charts and telling us there's something there which says improve the state of DCS facilities. It says here effective leadership and management. What I have heard here, Chairperson, renders those words useless. My argument is that when you make a promise, then there must be integrity in the delivery of that promise. There must be integrity in whatever you do. And I see very little evidence of that. So the question, Chairperson, is we can all sit here and lament about all the wrong that has taken place. The road ahead can only be mapped out, Chair, if the people that should have been here were here. So today we cannot map out the future. What is necessary, Chair, is I don't think we can leave this matter until the next session of Parliament. This, to my mind, is turning into a national emergency. And we might have to find, Chairperson, ways and means, even during recess. As far as I'm concerned, I'm on duty 365 days a year. 24/7, I must be available to attend to this. And Chairperson, we need to have a commitment on the part of every role player, as some of our members have stated, to be present. And Chairperson, we've got to have strict time frames. We've got to see that things are done. If Chairperson, the officials sitting here were members of a organization that is funded not by the taxpayer, but by shareholders, they would not have been allowed to manage the department the way it is being managed. And I want to concede there are many dedicated officials, but I think there are more officials who don't seem to be working with dedication. I asked Cindy earlier, and we had asked a number of questions, whether we've received anything, because the return date was that we should have them by the 23rd. She says she's received nothing. You see, Chairperson, this is my problem. A commitment was made that we will have responses. Now, there's no point, Chairperson, coming here without written answers, because that's what we had asked for. That again tells you, Chairperson, is this committee being taken seriously? So we have a major systemic problem. And if we don't address these things, Chairperson, the lives of those 160,000 inmates are not going to improve in any way. We are not going to be able to make a difference to society. This thing about South Africa, you know, the department will contribute towards seeing to it that the people what are safe and should be safe. I think that is just a cliche, Chairperson. Let us not mislead the people of this country. One day the day of reckoning will come, and we will pay very dearly for misleading people. Remember, you have the lives of 160,000 people at stake, and you have been unable to manage this home of yours, and that's the upper echelons of the department. I therefore support the idea, Chairperson, that very little is going to be achieved. In containment, there's a people that should be here, are not here. And I suggest, Chairperson, that the department take note that when you make a commitment that you shall see to it that we have certain things before us, then you see to it that it is here. And if you cannot carry out that commitment, Chair, then I'm afraid you cannot carry out the commitment that you normally come and make here, that you shall be doing this and you shall be doing that. We are going to judge you on the basis of what you have done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Apology to Kenneth, Chair. I'm the only youngest person in the committee. I agree with you, Chairperson. Let us meet and discuss this matter. The problem that I foresee here is that there is somebody, maybe that somebody wreck the whole institution. Because there is funds available. What is wrong from right? Why things are not implemented? Why people are not being employed? Simple thing. It tells me that there is somebody who's breaking everything. Let's sit together and maybe we'll know. But to tell the department, actually, this is amazing, Chair and honorable members, that the department, maybe they need us to just remind them what is our role in this parliament. We stand in front of the parliament, they are in the colors. Some they are not even here, they are in Pretoria. In the department, we stand in the parliament speaking very good, telling whosoever that this money must go to the department. And there are people, opposition is there, as we are with them now. Maybe sometimes they criticize us, maybe sometimes they agree with us. But we stand very firm with the hope that this department will implement everything. Look at now. We are towards the end here. The budget will turn back. Nothing is implemented. And I, as Makakula, I have to go to the vote again to say, a treasurer, give the department the amount, this amount. And I can even elaborate it as if I know. But after all, maybe we'll enjoy eating cheese and meekness. And you go and sleep. You come here, you say you didn't do 1, 2, 3. And then for me, as a member of parliament, who's been criticized sometimes for the department, it means that my standing or my prepared speech is useless. So I think you must bear in mind, that's why you always come here to report to us. Actually, it's us that we're going to stand in the department, in the parliament. And remember, if the budget is not passed, all of you, you won't get salary. All of you. I don't know. Really, there is money. There is everything. Employ people. What is wrong from right? No matter you have jailers, you can't have that much jailers. That people should be employed. You don't. I don't get. Really, let's sit down, Chair. As you said, let's sit down and speak. For me, this thing, what is wrong from right? It's not only the position that we spoke about. Even the deputy regional head. There is no deputy regional head. Maybe you advertise. If you advertise now the things that will be affect the next budget. You can't tell me that you, from that budget, you didn't employ it and you want to employ it now. Now it's December. February is out. It's the next budget. What are we going to say in front of the parliament? Let me repeat this. You are not part of the parliament. You don't enter the parliament. You don't speak on behalf of your department. And if we don't speak on behalf of your department, you don't even get your salary. So if we spoke, you have to go and implement. Simple. Because even those things that we spoke about is the thing that you've given to us. You came to us something, we go and speak about it in parliament, and then you fail to do what you've given to us. Really, sometimes you have to pay us, bear with us, and be good. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure audit committee your availability, but I'm going to ask Cindy to try and coordinate. We normally meet on a Wednesday. If needs be, we will cancel whatever we were planning for Wednesday, because this meeting supersedes everything else. So we will ask Cindy to just check with yourself in terms of your availability. I know that Wednesdays are normally cabinet meetings. Cindy will check again. And we have got people from the ministry here. We're hoping that you check and also indicate the seriousness of this matter. Because the last thing you want is for us to kick up the stick and your minister is embarrassed in cabinet. Because we are capable of doing that. Would you care as a minister, whether you go to cabinet or you come here, and put all these things on the table? We are capable of doing that. It's within our rights to do that. So I'm not sure. We had in our schedule Wednesday for torture, I think, stakeholders. If needs be, we'll cancel it and apologize to those people, once again humbling ourselves. But it depends on your availability. It depends if the minister's got a cabinet or otherwise. There's no sittings in plenary. So, Cindy, I think it's going to have to be Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on the availability. And then you will indicate to us.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think we're here on the 29th for COPA.
Yes, that's Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday. But I think what we can constantly say to ourselves that we'll move mountains to make time and be here.
I think you've helped us out. I was going to raise it earlier on. We've been invited anyway to the Tuesday meeting at 9 o'clock as the portfolio committee to this hearing. The commissioner and the CFO, I would assume, would honor the scope of meeting. If you are going to be here anyway for the scope of meeting, can we appeal to the committee that we rather have ours on Tuesday and not on Wednesday, even if it means 2 o'clock on Tuesday? In other words, after the scope of meeting normally finishes at 1. After the scope of meeting, we meet from 2 to whatever on Tuesday, because then there's no cabinet clashes with the minister or with the, I'll come back to you, or with the deputy minister, because that could help us. Because we really need to have at least the minister there, commissioner and CFO. At least those people have to be there. But you are available on Tuesday. Members, we'd ask you to be available at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on Tuesday. The scope normally finishes 1. In fact, they start at 9. I'm sure they finish at 1. We can convene after lunch because there's no sittings next week. It's now depending on the availability of the minister, because I'm assuming, Ms. Reiner, that the commissioner and the deputy commissioner, I mean the commissioner and the CFO will attend SCOPA.
Chairperson, they certainly will, but what I was trying to indicate was that the minister is currently in the delegation to the DRC for the elections, and it's only due back from the information I have on the 3rd of December.
Now, I don't think, please advise me, I don't think this thing is going to be, it's going to be productive without the executive authority. I don't think it's going to be productive without the executive authority. So, if she's got those duties until the 3rd of December, unfortunately, then Mr. Abram or somebody that wanted it in this calendar year, it's not going to be possible. I was trying to do it in this calendar year. But can we, I don't know, Cindy, what's our schedule for when we get back? Of course, not very early, because members...
Chairperson?
I'll allow you just now. I'll allow you. Maybe just towards the end of January, maybe, because it allows people to come back, refresh themselves, professional people like that. I know that we all then get ready for the State of the Nation address, which is around about the 15th. I don't know what's our schedule. But I don't want it on the first meeting in January, because then we'll have these type of things. But would it be fine with us that we, and I'm sure those weeks just before the State of the Nation is either state, I mean it's either constituency or committee or oversight. Can we, Mr. Self and other people, agree that we have it, because we can't have it this year, sometime then, towards the end of January, the beginning of February, because people should be around with the State of the Nation. We will give you the necessary dates as the audit committee. We will do so as well with the ministry. And really, the agenda is to receive this report from the audit committee, and hoping that between now and then you are not intimidated to change your tune. We will, in turn, from our side also give our report, and then ask the minister and the commissioner and the CFO to respond to us. So members will do as we normally do. We'd ask you to give us your State of the Nation report. We will invite the Auditor General to repeat what he said at the BRR meetings around IT specifically. So we'll ask them to give us the state of affairs as they see it. We are asking you to give us the state of affairs as you see it and as you reported to us today. We will do the same and then ask the executive authority and the implementing authority of the department to engage with our input. Is that okay? So there's not, I don't think you need to do too many other things except that. But you will also help us if you can share with us, as Mr. Self or somebody asked, some of your correspondence from internal audit for our own preparation. If you could, that's all I think we need from you, just so that we then formulate that together with all the other information, the AG's report, our oversight visit, and all that. I think we'd have enough. If you could give us that a week before the time, as soon as Cindy's given the date of when it will happen. We'll ask you if you give that to us a week before the time, at the absolute latest, for our own preparations. That is the proposal that I'm putting on the table. Let me hear you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we cannot delay and wait any longer for this. We are here until the 15th of December. We are here. We are not going home. And we do not have plenary session. And when the minister is back on the 3rd of December, we will be here. We have to tackle that. Because this organization, these people are experts and expertise in their field every day. So nothing is going to be difficult to compile or to give us any information at their possession. For us, Chairperson, it's just to avail ourselves and commit ourselves to this. And to tackle this head on head. This organization is alive and things are going to happen in between. Correctional centers, staff. Things like that are going to happen. It's holiday. And then, Utina, you are basically a pound of a yendo and a pendulum. For us, is to commit us to this. So that we can, the IT is collapsed. It collapsed. I'm not convinced that the person who presented to us did have the necessary capacity. I'm not convinced. So I think there is no IT system in this DCA. The sooner we do this, the better, Chairperson. Next year, we are going to be packed from January back to school. It's dangerous. Let us do this. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I want to speak in support of Mama Felicio's suggestion. If the minister is going to be back on the 3rd of December, that's a Saturday, we could have this on the following Wednesday. Give her also 2 working days so that if she's got anything to prepare, she could do so. As long as the notices go out now, if we decide on the date. As Chairperson, I'm in total agreement. You see, you are giving the department 2 months if we do it in January, virtually 2 months from now. And I don't think that is conducive, taking into account the urgency and the gravity of the problem. So I suggest, Chair, that we look at that Wednesday after the 3rd of December, the first Wednesday after that.
All right.
And it could be in Pretoria if need be, Chair.
All right. I'm defeated. We will do that. Cindy, can you look at this Tuesday, the 6th of December, or Wednesday, the 7th of December? We will then, I'm not sure if you're available, but again, we'll ask, you'll respond to that just now, ma'am. And committee, I mean, members are saying that if Cabinet happens to be in Pretoria that day, then we'll go to Pretoria. If it is here and the minister must be here, then we'll come here, either the Tuesday or the Wednesday. But it's going to have to happen on the 6th and the 7th. But yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was going to ask for indulgence. I'm out of the country, but arriving on the 7th. So if the meeting, I would prefer it be on the 7th, possibly after 10, because I land in the morning, so I can make the time any time after 10. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, look, we'll do that. I think you need to be there. Depending on the minister, it'll be the 7th in the afternoon. If it's that side, then we'll tell you exactly where it is. We'll all go to Pretoria. If the cabinet meeting is this side, we'll all come here in the afternoon. Otherwise, we'll do it on the Thursday, the 8th type of thing. But I'm now being advised that members want it before we break. So the only date I won't have, Wilma. I'll come to you. But we are suggesting the 7th or the 8th. We will send that message out to Minister. We in this room seem to be in agreement. We will ask, I'm sure the AG's office will make themselves available. It's really dependent on if there's cabinet in the morning, we'll do it in the afternoon because these people from wherever will be here. If the 8th is also a good day, then it gives them time to deal with their jet lag, and we do it on the 8th. But we will make ourselves available in Pretoria or Johannesburg. Bangwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to define terms of the venue for Pretoria. We've got a course that we are attending. Then if we go to Pretoria, it's going to be difficult for us. I'll prefer the meeting to be here in Parliament so that we can not be absent at the course.
Fine, we'll work out the logistics, because I also run the situation where Minister and others say we can't make it here because people will use these type of tactics. We'll work out the logistics. Which one is most convenient for who is where? Thank you very much. So we will not continue with the presentations, because there seems to be a sense that we must clear that first before we do the presentation. Just to summarize then, we'd want you to send us the information on the filling of those vacancies, your strategy in terms of who you've spoken to and so on. Submit it to Cindy so that we assist you in that regard. That's the first thing. We also then would ask the audit committee to, as soon as possible, you don't have to give us all, but to give us some so that we can get a sense of, are the things that you're asking the same things we are asking, and is your response consistent to the responses that we get? If you could submit that. And if you want something from us, I'm sure we'd also make it available to you. You could talk to Cindy, just so that we have a thorough preparation for what's going on. Also to the department, I think you have a very clear sense of the areas. And I think it will be in your interest to be an honest messenger to the commissioner, the CFO, and the minister, that you tell them exactly what the sentiment is here. Don't sugarcoat it, because they will come here to a culture shock. I think you need to be honest, at least to say to them, look, it's not me saying it, but this was what was said there, so that at least they can prepare. And of course, if they want to consult with us for clarity or confirmation of what you're saying, they are free to do so. But we are going to have this meeting. We will ask the AG's office also to come to us, and maybe yourselves, if you have the time, please be here, because I think we're all a team, so that you guys, as well as Treasury, that are now become a very important player in us achieving our goal of a clean audit, that you avail yourself, and you would understand the type of things that we are discussing. You'd also be able to give us your side of it, if you think there's something from your side that would assist us in achieving these goals. Thank you very much. So that's how we're going to conclude this meeting. But just before we conclude it, that's concluding the formal side of the meeting. Can the department, because we're having this problem, can the department just clarify to us the position on parole? You know, you used to have this thing of 4/5. You must serve 4/5 of your time before you go on parole for certain cases. My understanding was that thing was somehow banished, abolished. It's now 1/3 or 50%. Does this thing of 4/5 still apply? Can somebody just explain that? Because I have to respond to somebody in St. Albans on that matter today, and I promised that I would raise it. Is the 4/5 thing still applicable?
Chairperson and members, there are particular cases where 4/5 becomes effective and relevant. And those cases are spelled out in the policy of release. Let me mention a few of those cases, Chairperson, just for clarity's sake. Offenders that have escaped from within correctional facilities from lawful custody are expected to serve at least 4/5 of their sentence before they are considered and released on parole. The other categories, Chairperson, as you have correctly said, before the Act came into operation, have to be considered after effect, and then the other category after the act have come into operation is half of sentence. Now, there are those other cases, Chairperson, that the magistrate, judge, whoever was sitting in a case would then indicate also a minimum period for that offender to be considered before release. So those are clearly spelled out also in the policy, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Just so that we respond, because we're receiving quite a few of those and we were not clear on what it is. St. Albans, Kondile, and other people, just talk to breakfast. Okay, talk to breakfast when you leave here, give him these things so that he goes and deals with these messages. I don't want to be bugged by, I think there's somebody called Kondile in St. Albans. Please clarify that thing to them so that it comes from your guys' side that he qualifies or he doesn't qualify and see valid. Is that okay? Can somebody just take responsibility for that and talk to Mr. Breakfast before you leave? Yes, sir.
Chair, there were questions submitted, and it states quite clearly, and it is blocked, and in bold letters, questions for response by Monday, 20 November 2011 at 1800 hours. I want to know officially, and I want it recorded, whether we received these replies, these responses. Secondly, Chairperson, if we did not receive them, the officials present here must tell us why. And furthermore, Chairperson, I take exception that when the committee had asked on that particular day, nobody said that they would not be able to do it. So why isn't it yet? And if on such an issue, Chairperson, we don't receive these responses in writing, it was supposed to be. In other words, Chairperson, if this was received on at 1800 hours on Monday, yesterday it would have been in our pigeonholes. We could have studied them and we could have perhaps further engaged them on this quarterly report. But because these things are not here, Chairperson, it makes it difficult for us. And I'm asking once more, Chair. There must be the integrity in a promise. If you promise somebody something, it must be delivered. Thank you, Chair.
Let me come to the Department of Defense. To a certain extent, you can answer the rest. I did receive on Monday a message from a signer on my way from Johannesburg. When I arrived, there was a message saying that they were out of office until Friday, and they were unable to do much of the work. I didn't respond to her because I received it when I was on the plane. So at least I was aware of it. So that's why I'm saying let me take the heat for it, because I should have said it to you earlier on. But I did indicate to somebody, I'm not sure if it was Cindy or somebody else, that said we're still going to require them, even if you didn't do them by then. We're still going to require them. They are important, or understand that it's going to be an integral part of our presentation on that day. So it helps us and yourself in preparation if you have them ready. So let me take the heat for that. But I think Mr. Abraham's point is that if we make a commitment here, even if there's an earthquake tomorrow somewhere else, that promise that you've made to Parliament, you have to find a way of communicating it. The fact that you are out of the office shouldn't be, and I don't think Mr. Abraham will accept that, and it might have been very important that you are out of the office, but I think somebody's going to have to do something for that. So let me take the heat for that one. Don't even respond, because we will open it up. Let me take the heat for that, Mr. Abraham. I'm apologizing on behalf of the department. But the undertaking is that if you guys could get that to us in a week's time. Well, that's what I'm saying. A week's time is the absolute latest, because it gives us a week to prepare for the 8th or the 7th interaction. So if we could get responses to those, we're definitely going to engage. That is going to be the core of our contribution to the meeting on thing. If we could get that by then, because just now we're going to discuss as a committee what do we do going forward, because we seem to be saying we don't want to have those torture hearings. So if you can get that to Cindy, because if she must distribute it before people go on to their various points of constituency, we can do that. Thank you very much.
You see, Chairperson, this is my problem. Problem is that the Secretariat send these things through. Now they phone the chairperson of the committee telephonically, nothing in writing to you, that for these or that reasons we cannot deliver on this promise. The correct procedure, chairperson, would have been to send a email or send a letter by fax. I mean, modern convenience is there. It's not, we're not living in the 1900s. And say that for these reasons we cannot deliver this. And you would have saved me from expressing so many words in my old age. You know, I've got to keep these things and not just express it all the time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Words of wisdom from the elderly, I think we'll accept. I think we'll accept them. Thank you very much to Treasury. Thank you very much to the Audit Committee. Thank you very much to the Department. Exactly who we're going to invite to the Thursday's meeting is something that we will discuss, because some of us thought it must be two, others feel that it must be more than two, but we'll be informed accordingly. Certainly by the end of today, when Cindy starts putting all these things together, we'll be informed. No, let me not make a commitment of by the end of today. As soon as Cindy has confirmed the minister's location, whether we do it here, whether we do it that side, and reconcile it with Mangwaneers, that MPs that are busy with courses are going to be in Pretoria. So Cindy will try and put those things together. By the end of Friday, Cindy will be able to. Yeah, Friday, Cindy will confirm to all of us. If you need Cindy's numbers, please collect them from her emails, and if you want them, it's fine. Thank you very much to everybody, and we will reconvene when Cindy informs us. Can we just have members for 1 minute? Just members for 1 minute. Very briefly.